long this morning. I want to share on Isaiah chapter 6. Just remain standing with the Word of God. I feel the presence of God overflowing this morning, and we're going to tap into it. There's nothing that you and I could do but to live holy, live right, and God just begin to manifest himself. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, amen. And when you're there, just say amen. And as you're turning there this morning, I want to take the opportunity, first of all, to thank our founders, amen, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, amen, for the opportunity to serve at this capacity, to share the ministry. They share the ministry with us. And you and I, we have opportunity when no other ministry would give us opportunity, but we have opportunity because our founders believe in us. Come on, somebody. And we have churches all over the world because of their vision, amen. I'm grateful for our founders. Also, I'm grateful for my pastor, my spiritual father, Pastor Thomas, Sir Doty, amen. No stranger to this region, amen, and grateful, amen, for my pastor. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with him next week, amen. And then also, just Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, thank you so much. Pastor's right. I'm a nephew. Come on, somebody. I felt like I was with my spiritual father this week, amen. And just spending time with Pastor Danny this week and Sister Barbara, it's priceless, amen. You have some of the greatest pastors in Victory Outreach right here. And I don't say that, and I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that in every church I go. You can ask my staff. I'm grateful for you, Pastor Danny, for that opportunity, amen, to spend. Man, come on, let's give your pastors a good hand, amen. I don't know if this week was for the training center, or if it was for the church, or if it was for souls, or just that time was just for me. Come on, somebody. That's how I look at it this morning, and I'm truly grateful. Pastor, thank you for allowing us to come, and the team, Pastor Pat, and the team, all the ministerial staff, amen, being here in the train, bringing the training center here, amen. I know it took a lot to bring us out, amen, but this church does big things. Come on, somebody. Amen. And we're excited for that, amen. And also, I send greetings for my wife, amen. She's back home in the city of Chicago. Come on now. We're right there, amen, with the Stay Back crew. They're working it hard, amen. They've been putting in work and partnering, amen, with Pastor Rick, Elder Pastor Rick, Alnice, Sister Jean. They're in town right there with them, amen, able to spend quality time with some of our elders. And also, they're getting ready to start a crusade out there, which we'll be tagging along when we get back with Chicagoland with one of our multi-regionals, Pastor Nick and Sister Myra. So I know that God's doing some great things there in Chicago, amen. And my wife sends her greetings and her love to everybody this morning. And then, amen, also just want to make mention, amen, that God is doing powerful things in the Urban Training Center. And as you know, we have 5 campuses all over the world, amen, and just recently, amen, the door opened. There was a ban on South Africa, and the door opened now. They're taking students and applications, amen, and God's on the move in South Africa. Just recently this year, amen, our Mexico campus there, amen, got a new facility. Come on, somebody. Amen. And then just in the past 2 months, our campus there in Panama got a new facility. Come on, somebody. How many people know God's doing something new? Amen. And so God's doing great things. Amen. And all over, amen, the world, amen, with our UTCs. Amen. And we're excited. And I just want to throw this out. I mean, you heard a little plug on the video, but and this has been a year of firsts. Amen. I know that pastors had the training center here many years. Many times, but we've been able to break open ground in different cities, amen, right there, you know, just in the part of the southern New Mexico and Las Cruces, amen, and Deming. I mean, the training center's been to go there. But you know what? It's not the training, just our faith, but it's been your guys' faith. This church's faith. It's you guys that give. Come on, somebody. It's you guys that, amen, sacrifice. It's you guys that cook. You guys that said, I'm going to partner with you, Pastor Danny. I'm going to partner with you, Sister Barbara. We're going to bring the training center down. I know this church carried a load. Come on, somebody. But because of the load you carried, amen, we were able to step foot into different grounds. The training center was able to go places that we never gone before because of your faith. And so I want to acknowledge that this morning, amen, and I know that it's been an awesome time here, and I told Pastor Danny, I said, you ruined it for the rest of the Victory Outreaches, amen? And we're spoiled here. Come on, somebody. And I can kind of go on another crusade without, man, like, man, but New Mexico, come on now. Go to another city, and I'm like, man, but, you know, we had a great time in Albuquerque. Come on now. Amen. And I was going to title my message this morning, amen, one sopapilla later. Come on now. Because my jacket wasn't buttoning, amen. But God's on the move, amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. And I'm going to speak this morning about living your life at the altar. And the Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. It says, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Pray with me this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. I thank you, God, for your anointing here this morning, God. I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing, God, here in the great city of Albuquerque, in this great church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this region, God. And I thank you for what you're doing in the Urban Training Center, God. And Father, I ask you, Lord, just anoint my words, God. Move me aside and speak through me this morning, God, to this church, God. We ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we're going to live at the altar. And you may be seated. Amen. And also, I just want to send greetings from Brother Chendo and Sister Rachel. Amen. Just want to tell the family, thank you guys. And this church, thank you for entrusting us. Amen. We don't take it lightly. We're shaping leaders. And just like all my great students that we have here and our staff, we were shaping leaders. And we don't take it lightly when you believe in our leadership and you send students to us. Amen. Living your life at the altar. Come on, somebody. How many know that the altar, amen, amen, is a place of sacrifice. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of consecration. Amen. God is so aware of what happens at his altar. Are you with me this morning? He's so aware that you see many times in the New Old Testament, many men and have made sacrifices and they've went to the altar. They came to the altar. You see it in Genesis where Abraham, amen, made a sacrifice to the altar, amen, with the priest, amen, amen. And you see it there where the altar symbolized a lot of great things. Pastor talked about it during worship where he was going to sacrifice his son at the altar. We see it, Moses had built an altar. We see that David built an altar. We see that Elijah built an altar. And many of the prophets, so on and so on, because the altar symbolized many things. But they knew one thing, that if they were going to have an encounter with Almighty God, that they were going to have to go to the altar. And this morning, I want to just take a few minutes to minister about living our lives at the altar. That if we are to be a people, amen, that love God, that seek God, that want the promises of God, that we are to live our lives at the altars of God. See, we see in this portion of scripture that we read that the prophet, he had a vision. This prophet had a vision, amen, and I'm going to set you up here. He had a vision. The Bible says there that in chapter 6, amen, he says that he saw the train of the Lord, amen, sitting on the throne. He was high and lifted up, and his robe filled the temple. And verse 2 says, and above it stood the seraphim, amen, each one had 6 wings. They covered their face. They covered their feet. Come on, somebody. And 2 wings flew. The Bible says that they cried, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. Come on now. In verse 4 it says, and the posts of the door were shaken by a voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. We see that the prophet had a vision at the altar. And I believe this morning, what I want to communicate and what I want to transmit this morning is that if we live our lives at the altar, amen, we're going to be able to fulfill the visions of God for our lives. Are you with me? One man put it like this, those who are going to preach the gospel or those who are going to teach the knowledge of God better be acquainted with God himself. And I just want to share 3 simple things this morning about what took place here. The first thing was this, is that Isaiah, amen, had an encounter. Isaiah saw a holy God. Are you with me? He saw the Lord. When you live your life at the altar, when you and I, we live our lives at the altar, what takes place is that we have an encounter with God. Come on, somebody. Just like last night, we called an altar call, and many people had an encounter with God. Some of you had an encounter with God, whether it was in a prison cell, whether it was in a jail cell, whether it was on the streets, whether it was at a Bible study or in the home. We've had an encounter with God in the altars of God. He had an encounter with God. He saw God. The Bible says, I saw the Lord. And when you live at the altar, you see the God of the altar. See, a lot of times when we think about an altar, we think about sacrifice. Come on, somebody. We think about they have to sacrifice. And I don't want to get too much into it because we could spend all day on all the different altars. And we could spend all day on all the different sacrifices. But blood was shed at the altar. There was sacrifices at the altar. Sometimes the altar, it wasn't a pretty sight. Come on, somebody. We have a beautiful altar right here. It's not a stage. It's an altar. But in the Old Testament, there wasn't really beautiful altars. There were stone altars covered with blood. And what happens is that if you're going to live your life at the altar and you're going to have a encounter with God, there's going to be some sacrifices that have to be made. He had an encounter with God. He saw a holy God. He saw the angels of God. The Bible says that they're called the burning ones. They were the burning ones, the angels that saw the love of God. They had the zeal and the glory of God against sin. And these angels, the Bible says, they covered their feet. They covered their face because they had humility. They had reverence for God. Come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere. Just work with me a little bit. The Bible says that they covered their faces because they had humility and reverence for God. When you study it, it says that they covered, amen, their feet because it was less honorable places, amen, because they had a reverence for God. They covered their face because they were ashamed to show their face before a holy God. These angels, they had a reverence in their attendance for God because they had a fear of the throne of God. And then they had two wings for flight. Why did they have two wings for flight? Because that they wanted to not only have a reverence for God, they don't only want to, amen, have a humility towards God, but they wanted to be on flight for God. That they were going to do the work of God. See, the prophet, he had an encounter with God. And I'm speaking to a church here that's not a new church. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking to some members here that you've been around for a season. Come on, wave at me a little bit. We've had some encounters with God. Come on now. We've had some Holy Ghost times with God. You and I, we've been at Day of the Dance. We've been broken. You've been slain. But I'm here to tell you this morning that what God requires from us is to live at the altars. Amen. Not wait until next Sunday. Not wait until midweek. Amen. But a time where we have an encounter with God. Where we have it here. We have it in the throne room, amen, in our prayer closet, in that secret place where we live at the altars, where we have an altar in our heart. I remember a time when God was speaking to me in a message, and God was ministering to me, and he was challenging me, and he was dealing with my life. Has anyone ever been there once in a while? Come on, somebody. Just smile at me. And God was dealing with me, and God was challenging me. And I was right there in the second row. I was just a young guy coming up, and I was just waiting for that altar call to be called so I could run to the altar because I just needed a breakthrough with God. Have you ever been there? And then my youth pastor at the time, he said, hey, come with me. Amen. We got to go run an errand real quick. Got to go on a mission. Come on now. I'm like this, ready to go to the altar. And then he taps me. I'm like, man, you killed us. Oh, that's my youth pastor. Okay, let's go. And then I was in the car, and he's like, what's wrong? I just really wanted to make that altar call, Pastor. He goes, sometimes you just got to make an altar call in your heart. See, the prophet had an encounter with God at the altar. And when you and I live our lives at the altar, there's time after time where you're going to have an encounter with God. But see, an encounter is just not an experience. There's transformation that takes place. There's divine, amen, impartation that takes place. There's something powerful that takes place in our lives when we go to the altar. Come on, somebody. You've seen it all throughout the Bible, but you see it in your heart. You've seen it throughout the church, amen. And when you and I come to the altars of God, we lay it all down. See, Isaiah saw the Lord. And let me ask you a question this morning. Do you see the Lord? When he was at the altar, he saw the Lord. There in the temple, at the altar, he saw the God of the temple. Not only did Isaiah see God, but the second thing was Isaiah saw himself. When you and I live at the altars, not only do we see a majestic God, not only do we see a holy God, not only do we see a mighty God. See, the thing about it is this, is sometimes we don't see God coming through because we're not seeing the God at the altar. We're not seeing a powerful God. The Bible says that the train of his robe filled the temple. Come on, somebody. The temple post shook. See, when you're in the altars of God and you're in the throne room of God, we see a majestic God. Sometimes we get covered by our circumstances. Sometimes we get covered by our situations. And then we can begin to look in our struggle. But sometimes you just got to look out of your struggle and look at the God of the altar. And if he can shake the temple, he can shake my situation. Isaiah, he saw the Lord, but he also saw himself. The Bible says, amen, right here in verse 5, it says, woe unto me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. In verse 6 it says, and then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he's taken from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And behold, he said, he touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. See, Isaiah had a true vision of holiness. Amen. And how many know a true vision of holiness will always make us realize our own sinfulness and our own failure. See, because he had an encounter with God and he saw who God was. He saw who he was. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. I've been around Pastor all week. He's been talking about masks. Come on now. And because we get a hold of a holy God, we begin to see who we are. Come on now. Look at me. Just a little bit. Smile. I mean, it's all right. We begin to see who we are. Come on now. We begin to see what we go through. Come on now. We begin to realize that we have a need for God. We can't make it on ourselves. We can't operate on our own. We need an anointing. We need a covering. We need the presence of God in our lives. And he saw himself. And when you and I live at these altars, we begin to see ourselves. And we begin to see how God can move in our lives. How God can cover away, amen, and take away our struggles. How God can take away our sins. How God can move in our families. How many know God still wants to save families? God still wants to do miracles. Come on, we're in a church right now. Come on, somebody. We're in a church right now. Everywhere we got, God, I got a flyer. I've heard of Victory Outreach. Come on now. We're in a place right now. Yeah, we know. I was there on Five Point. Everywhere I've been, I've heard something. Come on, somebody. God's not done yet. But see, God doesn't only want to move in the city. God wants to move in your family. God wants to move in your family. But you got to see yourself. You and I, we have to see ourselves before God. Say, man, God, I don't know how you could do it in my family. Amen. But God, do it in me first. Come on, somebody. As you're doing it in me, you're going to move in my family. As you're doing it in my heart, you're going to move in their heart. As you're doing it in my life, you're going to move in their life. Come on now. Because Isaiah saw himself. How many know that we can't politic before God? We can't play before God? Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. Come on now. We can't look good before God. Come on now. Hey, don't tell your neighbor you look good. Amen. Tell your other neighbor I look better. Come on now. It don't matter how nice your suit is. It don't matter how great your dress is. It don't matter how good your makeup is if your eyebrows are on fleek. Come on, somebody. You can't hide before God. We can't hide. So when we see ourselves and we say, God, this is who I am, and God begins to do a work. Are you with me this morning? How many need God to do a work? How many say, I'm not done yet? How many say, God's not done yet? Yeah, we had some faith. Come on, somebody. Yeah, God saved my life. But God's not done yet. I want to go to another level. I want to go beyond past this. I want to be a conqueror. I want to be victorious. Amen. And as we begin to say, God, I'm not done yet. Look into my life. I see those things. There's some issues of the heart. But take them out. I'm at the altar. And as we do that, and God says, that's my specialty. That's God's specialty. God's specialty is the issues of the heart. See, one man put it like this. When believers have a true experience with God, it doesn't make them proud. Rather, it humbles them and breaks them. And when we live our lives at the altar, when we have that encounter, when we see God, then we see ourselves. We say, man, God, there's such a big task. I need you. There's so many that need to get saved. God, I need you. God, there's so much that needs to get done. God, I need you. Are you with me this morning? I like what what one commentary said about this man. He says, we are unworthy and unable to meet God or to even put his name on our lips. Come on, somebody. The best of men in the world have reason to be ashamed of themselves and the best of their services comparison with the holy angels. See, this angel came and brought the coals of the altar and he touched the lips of the prophet. Come on, somebody. Not to hurt the prophet. Are you with me this morning? Not to burn the prophet this morning. Not to expose the prophet this morning. But he brought the coals of the altar so that he can heal the prophet. Not to criticize. Not to condemn. But to cleanse. Are you with me this morning? Amen. By the purifications of fire. So this was at the altar. Amen. Where God begins to meet us. And he begins to cleanse us. He begins to work with us. He begins to cover us. Amen. So that when we're living our lives at the altar, say, Pastor, I'm good. I'm not in sin. I didn't come here to say if you were in sin. What I'm trying to say is that when we live at the altar, come on now, amen, that angel touches our lips and he covers things, he cleanses things, he works on it. I don't know about you, I'm not perfect, but I'm a good repenter. I don't excuse. I'm not trying to excuse things. I'm just trying to sacrifice some things. I still need to let go of some. Come on, somebody. I still got to go before a holy God. I still got to go before a great God. I still got to say, God, work in my life. I'm just a man. I need transformation. I need the blood of the Lamb. And at the altar, although it's nice, it gets bloody sometimes. There's some sacrifices sometimes. But when you sacrifice, you live. When you let go, you gain. You and I let go, we gain. When we sacrifice, we live. We symbolize it as time of death, a time of honoring. There's different symbolic things that the altar represents. But when you live at the altar, God begins to do a variety of things in our lives. He cleansed them. Are you with me this morning? See, this prophet, when he lived there, he saw God in every situation. When you and I live there, we see God in situations, and we allow God to work in our lives. And the third thing this morning is not only did he see God, not only did he see himself, but he was a man that saw the need around him. The Bible says in verse 8, he says, "Then I heard a voice, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me, and I will go and tell this people." He saw the need around him. See, a lot of times, we're not able to see around us because we're not seeing in us. You ain't hearing me this morning. You ain't hearing me this morning. I was part of my church for 20 years. And I've been there. Come on now. I've been stuck a few times. Are you with me? Amen. I've been blinded a few times. Come on, am I talking to anybody here? I saw my own struggle a lot more than what God could do. Are you hearing me? I didn't live at the altar that time. I was like a living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifices, amen, is they get up off the altar and they walk away. But when you live at the altar, you're able to say, God, I need to see around me. But I can't see around me because I need you to see in me. I need you to work in me. And when you're working in me, I can see around me. I know I might not be all there. I might not have it all together. But with your anointing, God, I can step out and do things for you. With your anointing, God, I can do the works of the ministry. I love that saying. I heard it over 20 years ago in Bible college, and it never gets old. God does not call the qualified, but he's faithful to qualify the called. It never gets old. It never gets old. It never gets old. Come on, somebody. See, I mean, when you're at the altar and you see God, you see yourself. And when you begin to see yourself, God begins to work in the heart. So there's no barriers. There's no hang-ups. There's no fences. Come on, somebody. So that when God says there's a need around, you can say, here I am. Send me. Here I am. I'll go. Because nothing's holding you back. Nothing's stopping you for what God wants to do in our lives. Because he was at the altar. You can't hear the voice of the altar if you're not at the altar. Think about it. That's what we've been doing all week long. And this ain't something new. We just jumped on board of what's already been taking place all year long. It ain't something that we brought. We didn't bring nothing. We just showed up. It was already here. Come on, somebody. It was already here. There wasn't a weekend free. You were putting in work for God. You were doing great things for God. We just got to partner with you. We just got to come with you. We said, let us just hang along. Can we tag along, Pastor? He said, come on with it. Come on, somebody. Because you've been at the altar, and there's been a need in the city. Come on now. And when there's a need in the city, God begins to raise the people. But let me tell you something. There's not only a need in the city. There's a need in the world. And God's going to raise some people up to go all over the world. And I'm not just talking about the trading center, but we're going to plant churches here. We're going to move. There's going to raise up teams. Because this is an altar. This ain't even just an altar. This is a base. Sometimes you got to get an outside perspective to realize what you really got. I told the training center students, and they'll tell you this, I go, this doesn't just happen everywhere. Are you with me this morning? This doesn't happen everywhere. Come on now. It just doesn't happen everywhere. If that was the case, then we'd be all over. Come on now. But it takes men and women that live at the altar so you can have an encounter with God, so you can see yourself and know how much you need God. It keeps us humble. It keeps us broken. It keeps us going. Come on now. Sometimes we think we got it together. Sometimes we think we can do it. But man, let me tell you this morning, we need God. But then God begins to show you the need all around. Not only in the city, not only in the surrounding cities and the churches you want to plant, but there's a need all over the world. There's a need all over. And I came here this morning and said, you know what? We need to just lay it down at the altar. At the altar, we die. At the altar, we live. At the altar, we kneel. At the altar, we dance. At the altar, we allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives. I believe this morning there are many here that God's saying, come to the altar. Just come to the altar. Victory Outreach International is raising up goers. Papa talks about it. He says that, amen, where's all the church planners at? I love what Pastor Ezra, I've been hearing him say a term, Pastor Sonny Jr., that there's a third wave coming. Nothing won't stop us from what God wants to take us. As Pastor continues to release, God's continuing to bring more. I've seen it in my church. I've seen it in other churches. You've seen it here too. But God wants us to come to the altar. As you stand to your feet this morning, power of God here. There's a move of God. I was going to talk about crossing over to Jordan. I said, no, tell them to live at the altar. Because sometimes when you're at the altar, you got to become a mess. You get messy. You get covered with blood. You get your hands dirty. You get there. But God begins to let you become a mess. So you can live. Come on, close your eyes. Lift up your hands all over the sanctuary. Come on, lift up your hands. I believe that God wants to do many things this morning. I believe there's several layers that God wants to move this morning. I believe that God is speaking to many hearts. I believe this morning that there's some of you here, you say, man, I need an encounter with God like I've never had before. I feel it here. I believe there's some of you here, you say, man, I got to see myself again. There's some of you got to just be broken. You got to come to God with who you are so that God can meet you where you're at, so he can take you to where you need to go. There's some of you here, you say, man, not only do I need to have an encounter with God and I need to see myself, but there's some of you here, God's putting a need in you. God's putting a city on your heart. We still believe in our churches that God's raising up men and women that are praying for cities. Men and women and families that are praying for cities. I believe that God's doing something special. We're going to sing a song this morning. The musicians are going to play. The worship's going to lead us in a chorus this morning. And I believe that God is speaking to your heart. I want you to come. We're going to lay hands on you. We're gonna pray for you. We're gonna ask God to meet you. Not only myself, but the ministry of staff. We're gonna believe. We're saying, I'm gonna come to the altar. I'm gonna sacrifice the issues of the heart. I'm gonna have an encounter with God. I'm gonna allow God to do a transformation, an impartation.
Jesus is calling.
Hallelujah. Come on.